Cody?
All right. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 6 is where we're going to be. Esther chapter number 5. Esther chapter number 5. And we're going to just take a very short time to talk about. The title of this lesson is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. And listen, in all of our lives, there's going to be something that's going to distract us, that's going to get us from doing the things that we should be doing. In every one of our lives, there's going to be something come up every day almost, sometimes not every day, but at least maybe once a week, we'll say. Something's going to come up that's going to try and rob you from your joy, rob you from peace, robbing you from even doing some of the things you're supposed to be doing. And listen, it's the small stuff. Some things in our life that pop up that say it's not expected. You know, this morning we go to pick up the kids on the bus class. And you know, everything's in line, everything's going well. And Jason calls me, says the bus won't start. Well, you know, I could either allow that small little inconvenience to allow my rest of my day to not go well. You know, I already was thinking last night of the things I've got to go on and where I've got to be and what I've got to do. And I could let that little small thing hinder me, or I could have said, you know what? Praise God for that. Let's find another way to do things. And folks, many times in our life, things don't go the way we want them to. Everything else is okay. The sun is shining. Our family loves us. We've got bacon and eggs at home. And we know we've got a comfortable bed to live on. But that little thing comes up. And that's all we can focus on. And we're going to look at a man tonight. His name is Haman. And Haman was a man who had everything going for him. And yet there was one little thing in his life that bothered him. And we're going to look at that in Esther chapter number 5. And listen, it destroyed him. It went from taking Haman, who could have been a hero. You know, we could have had Haman's name. Haman's name could have meant something positive. He was the second in command here. And Haman's name could have been something great. He was a great guy. But listen, now Haman's name is dirt because he allowed something small, something so insignificant, to bother him. And Haman's no longer the hero. Haman's name in the Bible goes down as one of the enemies of God. And so Esther chapter number 5, verse number 5. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even half the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I had found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleased the king to grant me my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day joyfully and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. When he came home, he sent and called for his friends and his Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them the glory of the riches of the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him. And now he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did not let him come in with the king into the banquet that she prepared but for myself, and tomorrow I am invited to her also with the king. And all this availeth me nothing, so as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. Thank you for this time together in your word. Lord, help us to look at the life of Haman. And Lord, understand, Lord, many times we are like Haman. God, we got so much going for us, and yet so many times we focus on things that are not going well. Help us, Lord, tonight to get this taken care of, to not sweat the small stuff, to just put in your hands and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. And God, help us to continue to be heroes, and Father, not let these things hinder us from doing good for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Haman. All right. If you go back further in the book of Esther, you find Haman was second in command. He was right there under the leader there of Babylonian Empire. And listen, great things going on for Haman. But listen, Haman couldn't get over the fact that this one Jewish man who was Jewish, who would not bow down for anyone, would not reverence him. And it bothered him. It made him struggle, made him lose sleep at night. He said, I cannot get over the fact that this man, Mordecai, will not bow down to me. He was the second in command. He had riches. He had his family supporting him. He had friends. Hey, listen, he's going to a banquet with the queen and the king. I mean, that'd be equivalent to us to being at the president's house. How many of you would say that that would be a fairly good place to be, having dinner with the president and Mrs. Obama? I know, maybe, listen, we'd love to be at the president's house, would we not? Nobody's there with me. I would. I like the fact that going to the president's house and spending time with him, or maybe for you it's not the president, but for you, there's someone rich and famous out there, okay, that maybe you'd like to spend some time with. Could you imagine getting into their house and spending time with them and the spread that was set before you? I mean, if you love to eat, man, listen, it doesn't have to be in a queen's banquet. I'm happy there's food in front of me. But this is the king's banquet. The queen has prepared food and desserts and all kinds of things that are set before him. Life is good for Haman. And he goes home and talks about all the good things, the blessings that he has. But he says, listen, yet this availeth me for nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew. That just aggravates me. This guy Mordecai is just driving me crazy. And folks, we look at that and we say, how is it? How is it that just one thing could bring this guy who has everything going for him down into the pits? And folks, unfortunately, sometimes in our life, we've got the same thing. Sometimes in our life, we can be like Haman, where everything is going well for us. Our job is going well. Our family is going well. We're getting promoted at work and getting a raise as well. And the car is running. I mean, even the dog is behaving himself. And yet we wake up, we get going, we have our eggs and our biscuit and our gravy, and we go out the door, and man, something doesn't go your way. And it's gone. And you forget about all the things that are going for you. And for the rest of the day, all you can focus on is that one thing. That one problem, that one insignificant thing, the small thing becomes a focus. And it ruins our joy. It hinders our ability to love our families like we should. It limits our ability to love God and love others like we should. Because we have this chip on our shoulder about this little, small, insignificant thing that distracted us. And the rest of the day is destroyed. And listen, sometimes we're like Haman. It doesn't just destroy that day. Sometimes we carry it over to the next day and the next day. And this little, small, insignificant, doesn't matter to anything in life. It's not hurting you. It's not harming you. It's just not the way you want it. How many of you guys have ever heard of the condition called OCD? Over-compulsive disorder. Is that what it is, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, I don't have OCD. You know, there's a little spot on my jacket over here that's been there for a year now. It doesn't bother me. But I think it's Dan Foyle. Every time he sees it, he's like, shh, get it off of there. Get it off. It bothers. It doesn't bother me. You know, it's a little spot on my jacket. Oh, well. You know, one of these days I'll get to the dry cleaner. But, you know, there's some people in life that are like, that bothers me. That's aggravating. My wife has a little bit of OCD. We have three kids, and she's married to me, so obviously it can't bother her too much. If she knew what I ate for breakfast this morning, she'd have a cow. But listen, I'm not bothered by OCD. I overcame OCD a long time ago. And I'm not preaching it's OCD, but listen, sometimes, because that's just something people are obsessed with, and that's okay. If you're obsessed with cleaning things, there's nothing wrong with that. You know. But listen, there are some people who are OCD about other things. They're over-compulsive about what people think of them. OCDAWOTY. Over-compulsive disorder about what people think of you. And that's what we have here with Haman. He could not get over the fact that someone thought negative about him or someone didn't like him. You know, I'm a people pleaser. I love to make people happy. And when somebody's not happy with me, listen, I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure it's fixed. I don't have this disorder, but I got over that a long time ago as well. You know, when you're ugly and you're fat and you really don't have a whole lot of challenges, you kind of just get over what people think about you. But some people, you know, it bothers them. What that person thinks about me bothers me. And they don't like me. And because they don't like me, I'm going to let it ruin my joy. Hey, because that person looked at me wrong, I'm going to let it bother me and concern me. And that's kind of where Haman was at. He was over-obsessed with what one person thought of him. And because of what that one person thought of him, which had nothing to do with him, I mean, I'm only imagined that Haman didn't bow down to a lot of people. But you don't see them in the story wanting to destroy all the Jews. But it bothered Haman. And he allowed what other people think of him to destroy everything else that's going on for him. And folks, maybe that's you here tonight. Maybe here you're here tonight, you're so obsessed with what other people think about you that it distracts you from being a joy and a help to other people. That's the small stuff. Hey, maybe it's not what other people think about you. Maybe it's a little small health issue. And you get so focused on that little small health issue that you realize, oh, I'm not dying. I just have a cold. I'm not going to let this little small cold hinder me from doing the things that I should be doing. I'm not going to let this little cold hinder me from being the father or the husband or being the ability to minister to somebody. It's just a small, insignificant thing. Sometimes it's an animal. You know, the animals are not doing what they should be doing. And the animal causes you to hinder your relationship with people. Listen, having an animal is great. But listen, that animal should not hinder your joy, steal you, rob you from being able to minister and love other people. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's a desire. You know, it's something you want, and you have everything else, but this little desire, because you don't have this, it robs your joy from being thankful for the things you do have. Folks, in our life, there are things that distract us from enjoying life. And if there's something in your life that is small and insignificant, that's robbing you from the joy of enjoying other things, folks, that's not worth it. That is just like Haman and Mordecai. And we need to find some things in our life, some comfort in our life, to knowing, hey, listen, let's not sweat the small stuff. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm going to let this pass and let this go, and I'm just going to go ahead and live for God, and I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy the day. Hey, whatever happens, happens, because God is in control. And folks, I just have a few things tonight, some scripture verses and some few points to talk about. Hey, listen, why we shouldn't sweat the small stuff. Because number one, listen, folks, if we have the Lord, we have it all. If we have the Lord, hey, listen, Haman didn't have God. Did you know that? Haman didn't believe in God. He didn't like the Jews. He hated the Jews. But you know what? We have the Lord. And maybe that's what bothered Haman so much and why he was such a grumpy pants. Because he didn't know God. But listen, we have God. If you're here tonight, you trust the Lord as your Savior. Listen, the Lord is with us. Psalm 73, verses 23 through 28. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee, shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them all that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. Folks, listen, if we have God, we have it all. We don't need anything else. Amen? We have salvation. All right? We have a God that loves us, who saved us. And listen, if our health passes away, we get to wake up in glory. Amen? Listen, as Paul said, listen, it is gain for me to pass. I get heaven. I rejoice with that. Folks, listen, if we have God, not only do we have heaven, but listen, we have company. You know, we have someone we can talk to always. Listen, God is closer than a brother. He sticks closer to us than our closest family member ever could. Folks, listen, we have comfort in the Lord. We have help. We have company. We have so much to be thankful for. And if you have the Lord, listen, you have it all. Job said, listen, I've got God. I'm good. I don't need anything else. I've got the Lord, and He loves me, and He's there for me. Folks, listen, not only if we have the Lord, we have it all, but listen, if you have food and raiment, listen, be content with that. Hey, I've got the Lord, I've got food, and I've got clothes on. We see that in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Folks, listen, we have so much more than that. But folks, if you woke up tomorrow and all you had was the Lord and a small bite to eat, and all you had was some clothes to wear, folks, listen, the Bible verse says here, be content. Be content. What does content mean? Content means peace inside. Content means, hey, listen, I'm happy with what the Lord has given me. Did you know that contentment is greater than a Caribbean cruise? Contentment is better than cash. Contentment is better than a Chevy Corvette. How is that, Pastor Cody? Because listen, if you can be content with driving a Chrysler Dodge or a Dodge Grand Caravan, it's better than having a Chevy Corvette. What does that mean? Because if you had a Chevy Corvette, guess what? You'd probably want you a Lamborghini. And you know what? If you had a handful of cash, guess what? You'd probably want another handful of cash. Listen, you could have all the things in the world, but contentment says, I'm happy with what I got. Contentment is so much greater than having all these other things. Contentment says, I'm peace within. I'm good with what I got. I don't know what it is, but for me, it's a cell phone. You know, I have a Samsung Galaxy S6. And guess what happened? This year, they came out with a Samsung Galaxy S7. And since that stinking phone came out, that S7, guess what? My S6 just doesn't seem like it's up to par anymore. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care what clothes I wear, obviously. It doesn't bother me. But for me, it's a cell phone. And sometimes I can get so obsessed with having a Samsung Galaxy S7 that I let my Samsung Galaxy Listen, we all have something in our life that we want and desire, something we're not happy with. But you know what? It comes to the point when you say, you know what, God? I'm thankful I have a Samsung Galaxy S6 because I see some people out there who have S3s. You know what? And I see some people out there who still have their flip phones, you know. And praise God, I've got me an S6. You know what? That's contentment. Contentment says, you know what, God? You know what? I'm really thankful for this. And you know what? This is enough for me. I don't need any more. And you know what happens? Guess what? I see the S7 commercial, and instead of being like, oh, I'm like, eh, I'm good. I got my S6. I'm good. Yeah, there'll be an upgrade next year, and I'll be able to get me an S8. But hey, for right now, you know what? I'm good with a Samsung Galaxy S6. And well, that's funny, and we laugh about it, but listen, all of us have something like that. All of us here, we have something we want, and it's a desire. And listen, we're letting it rob us of what we have. Listen, be content with what God has given you. The Bible says, with food and raiment, therewith be content. And I like to add, with food and raiment and a Galaxy S6, be content. And you fill in the blank there, whatever it is. You know, I mean, you drive a Ford, and I know you want to drive a Chevy truck, Brother Bob. You know, just be content with that Ford. Maybe one day God will give you a Chevy. It's okay. But just be content with that Ford for right now. You know, with food and raiment and a Chevy, therewith be content. No, listen. Fill in the blank there. Be happy. Rejoice with what God has given you. Hey, listen. And if you have more than that, if you have more than food and raiment, you know what you are? You are blessed. You are blessed. Many people in the world don't have even that. We are blessed. Listen, Psalm 68, verse 9. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Luke 9, verse 16, talks about when Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake them, and the disciples were set before the multitude. Listen, with God, 5 loaves and 2 fishes is enough. And listen, what you have in your life, listen, God will take that and God will bless it. We see here in Psalms 37, verse 16, a little that the righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Better, Proverbs 15, 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. What are we finding here? Listen, hey, be thankful for what you have. All right, if you have more than food and raiment, you are blessed. You are overly blessed. And listen, many of us who sit here today, we are overly, overly, overly blessed to have so much more. God has daily loadeth us and daily loadeth us with blessings. And folks, let's just rejoice with what he has. Let's be thankful. Let's praise him for what we do have. Let's say, God, I'm so thankful for that S6, and God, I'm so thankful for all the things. Listen, just start naming the things that you're thankful for every day. Listen, that little small problem begins to get smaller and smaller, doesn't it? That little cold begins to get smaller and smaller as you realize, hey, I can move my arm, because there are people who can't move their arm. Hey, that little cold gets smaller and smaller when you realize, I can breathe. My heart's beating. Your little cold gets smaller and smaller when you can realize, you know, my mind is clear and I can think clear thoughts and I can get on the internet and look up things. Listen, hey, because there's a lot of people who aren't. There are some people who can't do those things. Let's just be rejoicing in the Lord. Say, hey, listen, that little small problem gets a little smaller as I realize how blessed my health is. That little animal problem gets smaller as you realize how good life is. The little things in life begin to get smaller and smaller as you begin to praise the Lord for what you have. Hey, listen, don't only look at what you have. Don't only just be content with what you have. All right? And don't only praise the Lord for what you have, but finally, listen, pay attention to it. Look at what you have, praise the Lord for it, and then, hey, pay attention to it, meaning invest in it, all right? Take the Samsung Galaxy S6 that you have. Take the Ford pickup truck that you have. Take it as whatever you have, hey, and put some time into it. Hey, invest into it. Hey, when God came to Moses in the wilderness, what was Moses holding? A rod. What's in your hand? What did Moses have? What was the only thing Moses had? A rod. What's in your hand, Moses? A rod. And God used Moses to take that rod. and began to do great things with it. Parted the Red Sea. That rod became a serpent. Folks, listen. Take what God has given you. Praise Him. Thank Him for it. And listen, begin to see wonderful, marvelous things as you begin to use it for Him. I don't have time to read all these verses, but of course, Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 21, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord give, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He didn't whine. What happened? Listen, God blessed him for it, did He not? The Bible says Job had twice as much at the end of his life. Why? Because he was thankful for what God gave him, even when he had nothing. We see here a story in the book of Chronicles. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, there be a hazard to Tamar, which is in Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. So we see here a battle, okay? Everybody's surrounding Israel. They're scared. They're afraid. But it says in 2 Chronicles, later on in the chapter, verse 20 and 21, "And they had consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of His holiness. And they went out before the army to say, 'Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever.' And when they began to sing, 'Praise in the Lord,' they set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." Folks, Jehoshaphat said, "Hey, we don't have much. We don't have an army to defeat this nation. But we're going to go out there tomorrow, and we're going to praise God for what we do have. We're going to go out there tomorrow. We're going to sing praises to Him." And what happened? God showed up. And God used what they had to defeat that entire army. And then finally, we see in Acts 16, Paul and Silas. "And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's hands were loosed." Paul and Silas were in a prison with their hands and their feet shackled. And what are they doing? Complaining? No, what are they doing? They're singing praises. And as soon as they started praising God, and as soon as they started using what they had, all they had was their voices, to praise God and to use it for His glory, guess what? God showed up. Listen, God shows up in our lives when we take what we have, we use it for His glory. We thank Him for it, and we use it for His glory. God shows up. And listen, when God shows up, great things happen. Folks, listen, what happened to Haman? Haman had everything going for him, and he lost it. Why? Because he wasn't thankful. Because he was a murmurer. Why did God take everything away from Haman? Because, listen, Haman let the little things overtake his life. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Folks, it's the little things sometimes that destroy our lives. Listen, if there's something in your life that you're OCD about, I just can't get over this. Think about it. Is it small? Is it something that you could just overlook? Is it something that you could just say, "Hey, this is not hurting me. It's not harming me. It's not going to kill me. It's just distracting me. I'm just going to overlook it. I'm just going to go walk past it." Hey, maybe it's a person. Maybe there's someone in your life that is just aggravates you. You know what? And maybe you see them once a day or you see them once a week, and man, you let that person aggravate you and it distresses and causes the rest of your life to fail. Let's just look past that person. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a want. Listen, let the small things be small things. Let's just keep them there. And let's overlook them. And let's not let it bother us like it bothered Haman. Haman went from having everything to losing it. But folks, listen, with God, God takes us when we have nothing. And we're thankful for nothing. And we rejoice and we sing praises about it. God takes those who have nothing. As we rejoice and praise Him and use it for Him like He did for Moses, like He did for Job, like He did for Jehoshaphat, and like He did for Paul and Silas, God begins to lift up those who take what they have, who don't sweat the small stuff, who are thankful for the blessings, who are thankful for what they have and use it. Folks, let's not sweat the small stuff. I think they have one more verse up there that we're going to look at. And you see it on the screen. Let's read it together. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, let's let that be our verse this week. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what. No matter where the cat dies, praise God. No matter where the Ford won't start, okay? No matter if, you know, we didn't get eggs and breakfast for the morning, we had to have cold cereal. You know what? Let's let these little things be little. And let's look at what we have. Let's look at our families and be thankful for them. Let's look at God and all He is and what He has given us and be thankful for it. Let's look outside and open our eyes and see, hey, I've got a nice Ford. I may not have the 2016 edition, but I've got me a 2010. I'm thankful for that. I may not have an S7, but man, I've got me a little flip phone and it works. I'm thankful for that. Listen, hey, be content. And just don't stop at being content. Go on to start praising God for what you have. And then don't just praise God and be content, but hey, use what you have for God. Take what you have and use it. Well, this is not much. Folks, you're looking at someone right here who doesn't have much to offer God. Marvin Cody Frazier doesn't have much. I don't. But you know what? I'm not going to let just the little things I have distract me from doing. Listen, I don't have the talent that many of my friends have. I don't have the good looks. I don't have the charisma. I don't have the smarts that many of my friends have. But you know what? I'm going to use what God has given me to help people. And I've already helped many people. And I'm determined to help many more people with my life to take what God has given me and use it. And you know what? If I continue to take what God has and use it for His glory, when I die, listen, I die a hero. I go down and as a hero because I took what God has. Listen, you have the opportunity. Listen, many of you are much better than I am. Oh, you are. Yes, you are. Many of you are smarter than I am. I mean, Barry, you're so much smarter than I am. You're better looking than I am. I mean, my goodness, you should be up here preaching. But you know what? Take what God has given you. And use that and say, hey, listen, what God has given me, I'm going to use for Him. And as you give it and you invest in other people. Barry, you know what? Those seven little boys that we invest our life in, you know what? We're a hero. Hero. I'm not much, but you know what? Barry and I's not much. But we invested our lives for a week into seven little young men, and one of them got saved, and the other ones, they see us. Listen, we're heroes. Be a hero. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a Haman. Be a hero. And invest what God has given you and see great things done. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to come to your house tonight and to hear your word. And God, we look at a man named Haman who couldn't get past the fact that Mordecai didn't like him. He couldn't get past the little, small, insignificant guy, the one thing that wasn't going his way. God, he allowed it to steal him of his joy. He allowed it to eventually cause him to the point where he got himself in so much trouble that he was hung. And God, in our life, there's something there in every one of our lives that distracts us from what we have. It gets us so frustrated and so bent out of shape that, Father, we allow it to keep us from doing the things we're supposed to do. Lord, there's some people in this room today who are so talented, who have so many things to give to you, God, but because instead of their regretting they don't have that gift, they don't use the five gifts they have. God, help them to you realize they have been given gifts to serve you. God, help them realize they've been giving things that they might give you the glory for. And God, if we invest our lives in you and we invest our lives in others, God, we die a hero. We don't die like Haman. God, I pray that we will get rid of the Haman ability in our life, that distraction, that OCD, that overly compulsive disorder of letting those things bother us. And God, spiritual people make big things small, but God, unspiritual people make small things big, and it's all they can see. Help us, Lord, to lean on you. God, help us, Lord, to be thankful for what we have. And God, bless us this week as we go home. For this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll just take a minute here and just have a little bit of invitation. We'll go ahead and stand and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If maybe there's something the Lord's speaking to your heart to deal with at your seat or near on the altar, and as the piano plays, we'll go ahead and just give a few minutes for you to respond.